Let's take a moment to just thank the Lord and pray together as we've gathered here in this place. Lord, we are so grateful. Maybe even a little overwhelmed. And I pray that that's a good thing as we've come to reconnect with you in a very personal way and with each other. And so, Lord, today we just, we come with thanksgiving. We come with hearts that are probably filled with all kinds of different emotions, but it's so good. So good to be here. And so we just, we raise our voices to you. We give you our very lives. We give you the both the joys and also the challenges, the heartaches and the different issues that we've all experienced over these last months. And so today, we just want to lift your name up. We want to declare your goodness, your grace, the work that you've in fact been doing among us, even while we've been quite disconnected. And so we enter into this time of communion with thanksgiving. We just lift your name up today. In Jesus' name we pray these things. And everyone said together, amen. I hope you folks online heard that. You may be seated. And you'll notice, and Leanne, you'll be thankful that I have a Kleenex in my hand today. Because in many respects, it is a little overwhelming, to be totally honest. Thank you, Pastor Corinne and Casey, for leading us, and especially for the comments. Corinne, I too am a little overwhelmed, as you can probably see. Didn't really know what to expect coming into this place today. After 16 months away, like, who's still around? Who's coming? Who's going? You know, all those kinds of things. Maybe you've thought about them too. And so, you know, July long weekend, like, just super hot. Like, are people just going to be chilling by their air conditioning units? But so awesome to be able to be here together with you. And so we celebrate that. And so, as Corinne already mentioned, we're going to kind of move into a time of communion as we remember what Jesus did. And I want to share a couple of thoughts from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26, and which is a familiar passage of Scripture when we come to communion. But I want to focus on perhaps a theme that maybe gets the least attention when we think about communion. This is what the Bible says when Paul's encouraging a local church in Corinth to remember some key things about communion. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Two themes that we generally emphasize and remember and give thanks for are the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. The body that was broken and the blood that was shed so that our sin could be forgiven. And we talk about that. We are reminded of that, that we're broken people, we're fallen, we mess up all the time, and we need forgiveness for that. And Jesus Christ, by his death, on a cross solved the problem for us. And we no longer have to kind of live with this guilt and shame that sin brings upon us. And so we remember that, we give thanks, and we often receive communion with those kinds of themes in mind, with probably a level of reflectiveness and a somber nature, which is totally appropriate, absolutely appropriate, because we're reminded of this incredible price that Jesus, you know, paid. He died. But here's the theme that I want to kind of focus on today. Yes, he died, but he didn't remain in the grave. He's alive. He's alive. And he's coming again. And so the very last few words that Paul speaks about in that little passage of Scripture, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Which means he's alive and he's coming again. So the question that I pose to us today is, are we watching? Are we waiting? Are we anticipating? And are we living in such a way that there's this excitement, this enthusiasm that's a part of us because Jesus is coming again? He's alive. Like, this is today is a day where most of us haven't been in anywhere kind of close to each other for a long time. Some of us have. Maybe we've worked together. Maybe we live together in households. Maybe we've connected with some close friendships or maybe with our life group. But for us collectively, this is kind of all new. And here we are today, able to not only remember what Jesus did, but celebrate his life because he's coming again when he's going to make all things new. Praise God. Praise God. And so today, I want to just highlight that theme, which we don't necessarily talk about in the same way. Because Jesus is alive, because Jesus is coming again, we can look for him, we can watch for him, we can live for him, and we celebrate that today. So let's eat and let's drink in celebration this morning that Jesus is coming again. You may find your little cups and your little things a little hard sometimes to open up, but that's okay. We can be patient with one another. The bread is on the top portion, and you peel that thin layer off the top, and then the juice is the lower one below. And that requires a little more work, and try not to splash on the person next to you. But then again, if it is a celebration, sometimes that happens. So the bread, which was broken for you and for me, we eat in remembrance and with thanksgiving and with celebration. Let's eat together. And until Jesus comes again, until Jesus comes again, we drink of the juice, which reminds us of what Jesus has done through the shed blood. Let's drink with celebration. Lord, we thank you so much for the gift that you've given to us. And so we eat, we drink today with such grateful hearts, and we're just filled anew by your goodness. And so we declare that today, and we desire as the people of God to live for you with this heart of anticipation, this longing, this looking for you. When you're going to come again, you're going to make all things new. You're going to restore that which has been lost. And so we just celebrate that. We thank you that you're with us. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as Pastor Corinne mentioned, we want to take some time today to actually speak about God's work among us. So, for 16 months, most of us have not been together. We've not been around each other. And we don't necessarily know kind of how God has been working. But just because we've had this pandemic doesn't mean that God's not dead. He's very much alive. He's very much been at work in people's lives. As a pastor, I have the opportunity to hear some of those stories along the way. And I know that God is doing great things. And what an amazing opportunity to be able to actually build up the body by sharing those stories with one another, even today, this sort of this first Sunday back in the way, which kind of really gives us the freedom and the opportunity to declare God's goodness in the way that we would prefer and we would like. And so I know that God is at work. I know that God's been working in your heart. And as Corinne said, like, if he's stirring, if he's nudging, we want to give you that opportunity. We're trying to make space in our worship services moving forward to talk about what God's doing among us and then what God's doing around us. And so today we're gonna pray for College Heights Baptist Church a little bit later on. But we want to take some time now to actually hear what God is doing amongst his people. Now, have I prepared a sermon? Yes, I have. You can do two things, one of two things. You can either hear a sermon on David, King David, and about a time that he lost it, that he totally just blew up. He was about, like, just, he was so angry, he just blew up. You can hear a sermon on that. I gotta be honest, I'm not convinced that that's the story that God wants you to hear today or declare. I really believe that God wants us as his people to hear from one another what he's doing among us. And so we're going to take that time. This mic is right up here. We are live streamed. We're into a new world. And so everything that happens up here goes out there. There are people engaged right now. We're thankful for that community. Probably have gained new followers because of that. And so I simply want to note that. But wouldn't it be an encouragement? Wouldn't it be a blessing to hear how God's been at work within you over these last 15 months? It's not necessarily stories of, sugar and spice and everything nice kind of stuff. It might be challenges. It might be hardships. But God is doing a work, and he wants you to share that. And so, with that, I'm going to step back here, and I'm going to invite you forward. Just come on up. The mic is here. If you have, if the stairs are a problem, what I'll do is I'll just kind of bring the mic down right to the front there, and you can join me there. And so, so my message is right there in that stand. Your choice, okay? No one comes up, I go to that stand and pull the message out. People start coming up, we'll just let it roll, okay? So with that, who wants to be first? Yes, we have... All right, let's give him applause. So Harry, are you saying that you don't want to hear him preach? Just kidding.
I grew up, we used to have a podium here so you could hang on. In 1962, I was graduating from the University of Manitoba, and I was told you have to be a Canadian citizen. And so I said, well, I think I am. And we checked, and my parents had made a mistake. We had become Canadian citizens back about 7 years earlier. We came from a refugee camp in Europe, and we arrived in Canada in 1948. And we as a family, 5 years later, when it was allowed for us to become Canadian citizens, my parents invited the neighbors to the north and the neighbor to the south, good Anglo-Saxon neighbors. Would they come with us? as we became Canadian citizens. But in 1962, somebody, my parents, made a mistake. I went with my fiance, who just stepped out to take a phone call. I went with my fiance, Dolores, and I said to the office in Winnipeg, I said, I want you to check back. When my family, when the Jacob Gertzes arrived and we were allowed to become citizens, my name was left off the list. My parents had made a mistake. This last week, we celebrated a muted Canada Day. I am so proud to be a Canadian. But you know, there's a lot have been happening in Canada the last while, and I found it hard with all of these things that have happened on these reserves throughout Canada. My wife and I took a trip earlier this last Sunday. We were in Calgary, and on the way we were talking about the situation, and a verse out of Mark 16 hit me. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. In the 1600s, a French missionary by the name of John Brebeuf came to Canada among the Huron Indians. And he was martyred by a neighboring tribe. The message of go into all the world has not changed. We do not have to be ashamed of that message. The methodology, however, has not been good. The message is good. Some of the things, mistakes have been made. Let's keep preaching the good news.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Harry.
I've already cried once today. I was not expecting that. I don't like crying. but coming in and just hearing everybody singing together, I knew that I missed corporate worship. I didn't realize I missed it that much. So thanks for coming and for being here and for opening it back up. So I guess over the past, since COVID, my husband Patrick and I, we had been trying to get pregnant for almost 2 years. We had a couple of miscarriages in the process, and a lot of that was happening while there was not a lot of the usual things that you would, I don't know, the people that you would go to see for support or like meeting in person and all of those things. It was rough. And I just feel so blessed that through it all, God kind of protected us and protected me in terms of, like, I never lost the sense that God was good. Even though what was happening wasn't what we thought we wanted or to the timeline we thought we wanted or, it sucked. it wasn't fun. But through it all, I still had this, like, enduring sense that God is still good. Even though what's happening isn't good, God is still good, and I can still trust him to be good. So excitingly, we are expecting now. so that's, yeah, it's been really exciting to get to this point and now to be back and to be able to be at a point where, like, when we have our child, we are going to be able to bring them to church in person and start that right away. And like, we've been blessed. The other, maybe a month ago, I realized that we have a lot of other friends who are expecting right now, too. And so there are people that I wouldn't have had for support and other families that are starting the same journey right along with us, that if we had been successful when our plan was 2 years ago, we wouldn't be doing this journey with the people we're doing it with right now. And so as much as it was hard, I feel really blessed to see that, like, to be able to see a little bit of God's plan in that, or the way that he chose to work things out. Maybe not that, oh, like, he planned to make that happen, but it was like God used this and has made something good out of it even now, even before we get to meet our child. So that's my COVID story.
Awesome. Thanks, Liz. Deanne, come on. Would you like it down here? You betcha. No, I'll, let's bring it down here for you. Let's go right there.
Okay, so,
let's come over here.
Pastor asked me, you guys gotta pray that I don't break down. Pastor asked me a week ago to prayerfully, was his words, think about giving a testimony of what was going on in our life. And I'll be honest, when he asked me, I panicked, I freaked out, and I thought, who would want to hear anything of what's going on in our life? You know, like, it's a disaster, you know, from the standpoint I was looking at it. And I honestly didn't pray about it. I spent the night in prayer telling God why I couldn't do it. And why Pastor really didn't need to ask me. Why did he ask me? And God told me that he asked me because he put it on his heart to ask me. I don't know how to bring everybody up to speed. My husband and I have had a tremendous privilege and a tremendous burden in raising special needs grandkids. It did not get easier, it got harder. It has sapped our strength. It has torn at our marriage. It has challenged our faith. Mm-hmm. In fact, over the years, many people, myself included, have laughed saying, this is where they get the stories for soap operas, week after week, it's a new drama, how can that be? But I'm here to say that I come from a non-Christian family, my husband comes from a non-Christian family. It's been hard to have Christian friends around us because we honestly pull away. We pull away because it's hard, because people, oh, what's God doing in your life? And it's like, oh, well, guess what, this terrible rotten thing happened. Right now we have a granddaughter in treatment. We ask for prayer. She's become addicted to drugs. She's special needs. She's got all sorts of other issues going on. We have an autistic grandson at home that we're raising as well. Neither of these two have good prognoses outside of God. Mm-hmm. Right? Through all of this, trying time and being away and not being able to just come in here once a week, let everything hang for God. I miss the sanctuary so much. And the people, even though I don't know you, I just feel the support. And God has raised up someone who has been praying faithfully for us through this pandemic. I wouldn't have recognized him here in church. I wouldn't have probably connected outside of the fact that through COVID, we have to put our prayer requests through the church.
Glad I brought my Kleenex.
My mask.
Yeah, they can be useful for some things, right? Yeah.
So anyhow, I'm shy. My husband's shy. I want to tell anyone else, because I realize now we're probably not the only one in an awful situation that's bleak, that there's no hope outside of God, and God is our hope. And we're not doing it perfectly, but we're standing, we're staying faithful, we're waiting and praying for family to come to know the Lord. And we're thankful for anybody else that maybe didn't touch base with us, that heard about our prayer requests through the church, that is praying for us. But anyway, I'm not going to ignore the Lord next time he speaks.
No, thanks, Deanne and Pierre. Really, 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 really appreciate your honesty and your vulnerability today. And so you've shared, and we would be remiss not to pray for you, but rather than just me praying for you, what I'd like to do is simply have you turn to the people around you and pray for Pierre and Deanne and their family and the needs that they have. Maybe you just want to pray silently, that's fine too. And let's just take a minute and lift up these very, very significant needs to the Lord. So would you do that? Lord, you hear the prayers of your people, and you receive them, and so we offer up Pierre and Deanne to you. We offer up their family, their children, their grandchildren, the very, very significant and heavy needs that they carry, and we pray that your grace would sustain them day by day by day. We pray that that these prayers would bolster up their faith in greater measure as they go from here. And we also are reminded just of the power of community and the reality of space and opportunity to worship together corporately and the difference that it makes in our lives. And so again, we're thankful for this day. We ask, Lord, that you would go before Pierre and Deanne, go before their grandkids with these very, very significant needs, and that you would do a miracle.
Thank you, Jesus.
We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Deanne. Yeah,
Kleenex up here.
Well, let's keep the line going here, people.
Heather. A lot of you guys don't know my story, but there were a couple of people in this church that made the last 15 months very bearable for me. Going from the beginning of the pandemic, from being in a 5-year marriage to starting all over on my own with 4 kids, it was tough. And start all over, and I bought a small house, and the church helped me. There was a group of people here that came out and helped me with some of the essentials, getting the roofing done and making it livable, and I want to say a huge thank you to you for helping me through that. My faith was challenged definitely during that time, but it also a lot of growth happened in the last 15 months. Starting where you don't rely on another person, but have to rely on God every single day because you don't know what it's going to bring. Having amazing friends that supported me, and the Clausens that were right there by my side, helping me through it. Twyla, Carrie and his kids with babysitting, and God has done amazing things in my life, helped me to realize that there is so much joy in a lot of the little things that we miss daily. And I just want to say thank you for that, for the church. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Heather. Thank you, Heather. Blessing of community. You can fight each other for the mic.
No, you can go first. Hi, I'm Courtney. I don't really know what I have to share, but I've just been kind of trying to unpack some stuff, I guess, during COVID, and I find this embarrassing to say, but I'm realizing, like, a false story that I tell myself is around, like, rejection and feeling alone in the world. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so just coming here today, and in the song where it's saying, in my Father's house, there's a place for me. It reminds me that I do belong. Hmm. Yes, thanks.
Thanks, Courtney.
I just want to testify today that God doesn't change. I think that's a big lesson for me during COVID. The Bible says he does not change like shifting shadows. And as we all know, life changes just like that. And it's unpredictable. And it can be crazy, and it can be good, and it can be low. And God doesn't change. And that is just a huge comfort to me. And through that, and through COVID, I've realized that he still speaks in the same ways that he always has. He speaks to me through his Spirit, and he speaks to me through his word, and he speaks to me through my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I just want to say thank you to each of you who during COVID were brave to come up here in front of a camera and share your testimony, you know, online. And that is still such an encouragement to me. And all of you who I was able to connect with during COVID, and you were going through hard things, and you spoke about your faith, and you encouraged mine. I need that. I need you. I need you in my life to hear what God's doing, and I'm just so grateful that he is still the same. He still speaks to me, and he still speaks to us through each other. So I'm just really grateful for that today.
Slam.
For those of you that don't know me, my name is Melissa. I've been really just amazed in all of this at God's provision in my own life. Going into the pandemic, I felt as safe as you can during a global pandemic. I had a good job. I was an essential worker. I was like, okay, this is gonna work. And then I lost my job. And it was like, God, what are you doing? I can't find a job when there's no economy. And so I kind of sat there and I was like, well, maybe I can go back to school, but I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. And I started applying around. I talked to WorkBC, and a friend of mine from high school was like, hey, you like kids, you want to get your ECE, come apply for the Y. So I was hired by the end of my interview with the Y to work as a school age leader, and they saw me working with the kids a few times and approached me and said, hey, do you want to get your ECE? We will pay for it. So I'm currently going through. It's really hard because it's all online and I'm a procrastinator. But just all this way, I mean, I've always been able to make my bills or get help with making my bills, even though things are a lot harder. And I've just been completely amazed at how much God has continue to provide in all of this despite any hardships I find my way into.
Thanks, Melissa. Yeah.
Morning. I'm Bill and this is Andrea. About a year ago, in July of 2020, we found out that my eldest son was pregnant. Oh, sorry, my eldest son's girlfriend was pregnant.
That's a story.
All right, that was another story. Yeah. We were concerned that they weren't going to be able to care for the child, and we talked about it, and we prayed about it, and we thought, would we take him in? And back then, the answer was no. We couldn't do it. We didn't have the capacity. So life went on, and then on April 5th, this beautiful child was born, and the answer was still no until he was 8 days old, and we got a phone call saying, will you take him? And we knew it was a God thing because the day before we got the phone call in my study group with one of our congregation members, the passage that I was supposed to read was Jonah. So when the phone call came and Andrea said, what'll we do? I said, God, I don't want to spend 3 days in the belly of a whale. This is a God thing. And we took him in, and he has been a literal blessing on our lives since then. And I stand up here and I'm a bit ashamed because we're talking about all the great things that are going on, and there's a lot of people in here who've gone through some difficult times, but I think it's just important to show that God does bless us when we are faithful. Thank you.
Amen. And so we're going to be planning a child dedication service for grandpa and grandma and grandson Theo. So that's great. You guys are matching today. Look at that.
This is one of the guys who was a big encouragement to me this last year. Had some challenges, for sure. And a lot of you know my father passed away about a month and a half ago. And just to, you know the congregation and the people of the body of Christ is there for you and to support you, but to be on the receiving end is a whole lot different. And the cards and the phone calls and the flowers that came in, and it was just amazing to see how many people were praying and caring for our family. And the church as a whole, with the support, was amazing. And even though we couldn't honor Dad the way we wanted to, it worked out, and we're so thankful for the body. And I think that's probably one of the coolest things about being a follower of Christ is you don't do it alone. You have this group of people that come alongside you and help you. And if you look through the Gospels, they never did anything alone. They were always helping and supporting one another. And I just praise God for that. And one of the things that stuck with me when we were doing a graveside service for my dad was my brother-in-law said, you know, you guys, and he pointed to all my family members, says, you've lost someone praying for you. You've lost a solid person who was praying for you every day. And he pointed at them and he said, no, you need to pray for somebody. Every day you need to be their support because you've lost somebody else. And we need to do that, whether we're in a pandemic or not. We need to support one another and pray for one another or give somebody an encouraging call and say, you know, come on out, let's do something, or, you know, I've been thinking about you, I'm praying for you. And that's part of our job as believers. Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks, Al. Great word.
My knees are giving up these days.
You're going to have to come and do the hug thing.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm not a very good Christian. You know, I have to admit that. I'm not necessarily sure I know how to love the way God wants me to love. I'm an old hippie. My drug of choice is marijuana. I used to use it to get high. Knees are getting a little shaky here. I don't know if you've ever had church leadership come to you and upbraid you for your behavior. Pastor Rob and a couple of the others took me to task in terms of marijuana use that I've been using over the last few years since they legalized it. I use it for pain. Pain is an old friend of mine. There's the word ashamed that has been bantered around. I'm more than ashamed. I'm saddened by my behavior. I'm saddened by my arrogance, my pride that gets me to that place, which isn't honoring God, my family, my church. And yet, I know with examples like Al and the mentors that I have in my life, that he who began that good work will bring it to completion. I cling to that. Mm-hmm. So I covet your prayers for me and my family. I know he's not done with me yet, but I have this, my prayer these days is, Lord, give me new eyes, give me new ears, but especially take this hard heart of mine and turn it into flesh so that I can honor him. Thank you.
I just wanted to share a story today out of all this craziness. It's good to be back. It's good to you see how we really need this and how important this is for us all to be together. And out of all this craziness, I actually thought this is the beginning of the end. With all this COVID, it was just really tough. You see, everything is supported and everything's praised and good. That is against being, a God-fearing Christian, and it's just, it's a really tough time. You know, you see, it's okay to do whatever you want. You can have a violent protest, that's fine, but then a pastor in Alberta gets thrown in jail for trying to do the right thing. And so I just had in my mind that nothing good is coming out of this. This is the beginning of the end. And then a week ago, my phone rings, and I get a phone call from a friend of mine. We've moved around a lot, and a friend of mine that lives in Smithers, and him and I used to hunt together a lot, and he completely made it known that this whole Jesus and loving God is ridiculous, but he's a super good guy, very well-educated guy, and he'd often say things to me. We'd be on a mountainside, you know, glassing goats, and he'd make comments all the time about how, you know, amazing this is, how these animals evolved over millions of years. And I'd laugh at him and be like, well, no, that's how God created them. It seems pretty plain as day to me. But anyway, I got a phone call from him. I haven't talked to him in a long time, and he was upset. And the long story short, he said, Adam, you were right. He said, out of all this craziness, he said, the only thing that makes sense is Jesus, and you were completely right, and I was wrong. So when it seems like it's all going downhill, there is still good stuff happening, and God's working through all of this as well. So I just want to show you that. So.
Amen.
Hi, my name is Stephen, and through the last 16 months, it's been stressful for me, and I was a little bit depressed, and I thank Westwood and the church, and I believe we are the body of Christ, and if I'm wrong, just let me know later. In Ephesians 4:14 and 16, it says, God wants us to pray and be praying in heart, mind, spirit, and truth. And I believe that Westwood, that's what we do, and we are a body. And I thank Westwood for what they've been doing in my life. And I'm happy to be a part of the body of Christ with Westwood. That's what I'd like to say.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks, Stephen. Yeah. Two more hours till lunch, so we still got time.
Hi, everyone. My name is Colin. On May the 2nd, 2021, I finally came home. That was the day I gave my life to the Lord and Jesus.
Amen.
In the past 16 months, I had stability in my life. I had a job that I love, a home, someone that I love, but that came to an end. The job I still have, which I love. I was in an abusive relationship, and the Lord gave me the strength to finally leave that relationship. And then he gave me the courage to fall in love again with an amazing woman, as well as showing me love and acceptance. For the first time in my life, I feel like I truly belong. Thank you.
Amen.
My name is Pat, and anyone who knows me knows that I'm not a very good sharer, or I wasn't. My life has really changed, especially in the last 2 months. On the last week of May, I lost my job, I lost another income, and I lost a dog that, well, I'm going to lose a dog that meant a lot. But through it all, the one thing that I've learned, I went to a course called Rooted before this, and it made sense why I went there, because it was telling us how we need to be a family and to share with my Christian family as well as my legal family. And I just want you to know that the one verse that has come to me is, be still and know that I am God.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Pat.
I'm Doriana, and this year has been challenging for sure. So I teach at Cedars Christian School, and we do staff devotions on Monday mornings before school starts, which I think is dumb, because we're really task-oriented people, and it's Monday morning, and students are arriving, and so it's not that I think devotions are dumb, it's just that I don't absorb very much of them, because, you know, I'm task-oriented. Anyways, but the one devotion I has stuck with me all year, our principal shared with us. I don't remember all the passages and all the books and people he quoted, which were all very eloquent. The message was, God can, and God has, and God will. And I think that's kind of my message this year has been that it's been kind of my chant when it got really hard. God can, and he has, and he will. And so he can, and he has. He's shown up a lot. I've struggled with anxiety disorder all my life, and it got really bad this last year. It's been bad. Three times in my life, it's been really, really bad. The first time was about 2 years after we got married, I was diagnosed. And the second time it got really bad was when my first son was born. He almost died when he got born. He stopped breathing, and we spent the first 5 minutes of his life praying for him to cry. And then he spent the next year of his life crying. And I'm going to embarrass him a little bit, but it was his birthday yesterday, so that's him right there. Matthias, can you stand up for a second? Wave your hair around. Okay, so he's 11, right? So God can give you a healthy baby, and he has, and he will. And so he was our miracle first. We lost one before him. And so he has. And so when we remember that, then we can keep going. And we have friends to remind us that, to look at what God has done, and then we can keep going. And so I took my first Ativan this winter because my anxiety turned into panic attacks. And the first night I took one, Keith and Carrie showed up at my house. How are you doing? Are you okay? And I said, well, I am now. I just took Ativan. But he shows up. And when I couldn't keep going at work, my boss took over my job for 3 days so I could go home. And he just showed me so much compassion and so much of God's love. And that's given me a chance to do that for other people. So this year has been really crazy and hard, but it's been really cool too. And like the belonging thing too, I wanted to say, like, I grew up in a non-Christian home, and when I first came to church, there was lots of really great people, but I never thought like I fit in. Like, I always felt like I was on the edges, right? There are these tight Christian circles of people who grew up here and people who know, people who don't wear shoes in church, and they run around and hug each other and pour each other coffee, and I never thought I could be in the middle of that, right? And here I am in the middle of that with people who support me and show up even during COVID, and we can't come to church, and there's still people, and they still show up, and we still share life together, and it's amazing. And so thank you for a place to belong, and I'm so glad that other people feel like they belong here, and I hope I can be part of making you feel like you fit. Anyways, praise God.
Amen. Amen. I wish I could hear what people are doing online, and just like, you know, they could feed into our time together. But isn't this great? Like, aren't you glad that the sermon got left on the shelf and you were able to, yeah. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Awesome. Awesome. Well, you know what? This has been awesome. Does it need to end now? So I'm just going to give you a last kind of call here. So run up here if you feel like you need to do something. But we're going to do more of this. So, you know, if today's not the day, then that's okay. But if God's nudging, then we'll kind of wait for you. So scanning the crowd here and not wanting to keep our live stream people. Oh, there we go, Daniela. Okay, come on up.
I'm a little nervous. Hi, I'm Daniela. I just wanted to first share. It's okay.
There we go.
just walking in here today, I haven't experienced joy like this in a long time. It just felt an overwhelming sense of deep love for God's people and the need that we have. Yeah, to have each other. So that's been so encouraging. I just wanted to share one more story from this past year as well. Kind of at the beginning of COVID, when everything started, I got a random Facebook message from a girl at school that I had talked to like probably only
like a few times in my first year of university, and I think we were in a class together and we just were sitting beside each other and we chatted a bit, and then for the past like 2 or 3 years after that, we weren't really in any other classes together, and I'd see her occasionally in school, but we didn't really chat. And she messaged me this last year and said, oh, congrats on your wedding. I saw your pictures. I was so excited. And then I said, oh, thank you. And then I said, hey, do you want to go for a walk and we can connect? So, we went for a walk, and then it was like, we were like 10 minutes into the walk or 5 minutes, and she started talking about faith, and she was like, do you have a faith, and what do you believe? And I was able to share with her, and she had said that she went to one InterVarsity event last year, and it really spoke to her, and since then she's been reading her Bible, and she's never read the Bible before. So that was really cool, because it was a quieter year. It was a lot less busy than I've been in past years, and so I was able to meet with her regularly, every couple of weeks, and we'd go for walks and we chat, and she always wanted to talk about life, but she was so excited to talk about God and to ask questions about faith. And in the middle of that, in our small group, we were learning how to have gospel conversations, and like we had that on Sunday, and then I had that week to go and practice with her essentially and share. And at that same time, my husband's dad had been spending lots of time with us and asking us lots of questions about our faith and what we believe. So we were also wrestling through a lot of questions, and then I was able to share that with her and share, like, I don't know, like, this is what I think maybe, but I was like, I'm still figuring it out. And so that was just like a really cool experience this year. And she's away for the summer, but I'm excited to keep connecting with her next year. And I was even just so blown away in conversations she would share how she saw God working in her own life, even though she doesn't have a faith and she's wrestling right now. But she was sharing how she had a really hard roommate, and she feels like God has been giving her like love that she needs for this person, and the ability to just empathize for them and care for them. So,
awesome, Danielle. Thank you so much. Yeah, Corinne and Casey, why don't you come on up? And, you know, I think Daniela expresses something amidst all of the emotions that we're experiencing. I think she's articulating something that is true of each one of us, this joy of being together with God's people. Like, am I completely reading this wrong? Or, like, that's what I'm feeling. The joy of being together with God's people, which tells us something really, really significant. That community is important. We can't do it alone. We need one another. We need to support each other. We need to pray for one another. We need to encourage and build one another up and even challenge each other as we go. And so this last year has been super, super challenging to do that. But God's not dead. God's not done with this. He's working. He's alive. We've been hearing about that, and we can be thankful. So let's stand together and let's sing about it. And then I'm going to just release you to say, connect with people and enjoy the relationships.